Hello, everyone. Hopefully you're having and or had a wonderful day today. If you're new here, my name is Drew Joyner. I'm the host of Beyond the Garment with me, your boy, Drew Joyner. And we're back with another episode. We got the consistency going. We got the week after week episodes going. Hopefully you guys are having a good week, man. It's Monday, January 15th, 2 weeks. And 2024 is already over, which is crazy to say the least. I remember bringing in the new year like it was yesterday. I guess it wasn't that long ago. It was 2 weeks ago. But regardless, it feels like time always seems to fly. Things go really fast. And it's both scary and exciting at the same time because there's so much that I feel like 2024 is brewing up to be. I feel like there's so much excitement for the year, so many cool things happening. In the fashion world and personal life, all the things are good right now. Well, all things except for the weather. The weather right now is cold. As I sit here talking to you on this podcast, I can't feel my left pinky toe. I'm not even kidding with you. Actually, I'm kidding a little bit. I can feel my left pinky toe. It's just my toes are cold and I'm wearing wool socks. I got my little House Birks on, man, and I'm still cold. I got the heater. The heater, I turned it off to record this, but I had the heater on. It was blasting hot air against my freaking feet, and I wasn't getting warm because the wool was insulating my foot, but it wasn't warming the inner layer of the wool sock. So my feet are still cold. Regardless, let me know. I was going to say let me know down in the comments. I do that a lot, but just let me know with a rhetorical yes or no if it's cold where you are. I know back home in Colorado it's like negative temperatures. In the U.S. we're going through like a crazy cold front. The Midwest and the Western states are cold right now. The South, I don't know, if do y'all get cold in the South if you're in the U.S. because I just imagine like just warm. The South to me is like those bugs that just go like those loud bugs in the tree that just constantly making that clicking noise and just heat. So if y'all get cold, maybe you guys are cold like we are in the northern states, but regardless, it's cold. And when it's cold outside, you don't really like have as much motivation to leave your home. You just want to stay warm. Like I went to the gym this morning, and going to the gym this morning is, you know, a decent little walk from where I live. And so, you know, you feel all of that cold air get inside you before you go back into the building that you're supposed to be in. And I don't know, I just don't want to, I went to the gym and I've been home, and that's just what I've been doing. I've been working from home. I might have to go back to a grocery store and get some popcorn because Lauren and I, we've been eating this really delicious popcorn that, I don't know, like this bagged popcorn. I don't even know the name of it, but I had like 3/4 of the bag before starting this episode. Okay. Regardless, that's the intro. Right? That's what we're starting with. If you've never listened to the podcast before, this week we're going to be talking about American Ivy, kind of exploring American Ivy. If you don't know anything about the podcast or anything about me, I'm Drew Joyner. I just started, well, what am I trying to say here? Sorry, you guys know how I get nervous, you know, talking to myself. It gets nerve-wracking. If you're new, I make content about fashion, right? And I've been doing so for the last 3.5 years ish. And typically when we can, I think preferably, but typically we have guests that come on the show. When I'm unable to secure a guest for the week, right now I'm trying to get Jason Jules, the author of Black Ivy, which is a part of my exploration in American Ivy, on the pod. But right now, just haven't had time to organize, get people on the pod. I probably could if I just went for smaller fish, if that makes sense. Not to say that anyone's a big or a small fish, but just if I went for people who were less busy, I probably could get more people on the pod. But that's neither here nor there. It's good. We're just monologuing right now, which I don't know if we don't have to get into that. I was going to say, if you know anything about podcasting, monologuing is like you got to be in a good state of mind. I feel like right now I'm in a decent state of mind, but like if you're not feeling it and you're just monologuing, like, ooh, I don't know how people do it. I've done it before. I don't know how I've done it. Regardless. Okay. I'm rambling. So for today's structure, I want to kind of go through a couple of things. We're going to talk about American Ivy a tad, my exploration of it, and kind of just giving you guys some surface level ideas about American Ivy and exploring that. Most of all, we're just going to vibe out, have a good time. I got a couple of stories that I want to tell you. And then we'll conclude with just like a really cool moment that I had in New York City a couple of days ago. I think it was on Saturday. One of the things, like a story, it's a type of story that made me realize, like, man, I live in New York, and like this moment is really cool that I can do something like this in New York. So that's where we're headed. First story I want to tell you about is this bagel story. So last week on my Instagram story, I posted that I was going to get bagels. And in fact, if you don't know, I get a bagel about every week. I get one bagel a week about. I have this thing on my story where I say, if I post a video, I need to eat a bagel. And I've been not trying to do that, but it's just kind of happened where I've noticed that every time I post a video, like I work hard on making the videos, I get hungry, I need a snack, I go and get a bagel from my local bodega, right? So I posted a series of videos last week, some of which were some of the more dynamic videos that I posted on Reels on my short form channel. Like there was this really cool video I made where I was walking into the New York City subway and I transitioned outfits. It was pretty cool. You should check it out actually. But anyways, I worked really hard on those videos and I was hungry, but it was like late in the evening. So I was like, damn, where am I going to go get myself a bagel? I Googled bagel shops and I had to go pretty freaking far at like 8 p.m. to get a bagel. And I didn't realize that bagels were evening foods. They obviously are, or not evening foods. Bagels are morning food. I didn't realize how much so that bagels are morning foods. So finding them in the evening is not easy. Also, I asked you guys who follow me on Instagram, like, what's your favorite bagel, Ogo? Can I talk? I asked you guys on Instagram what your favorite bagel order is. And some people had said that they had never had a bagel. And I followed up with them, and a lot of people who said they'd never had a bagel don't live in the United States. They live in different countries in Europe. And I found that to be really, really interesting. Actually, very interesting how in the US we have, or at least in New York, like East Coast, there's a true bagel culture. But in Europe, there seems to be less bagels. So I don't know if that's the case, but it was interesting, like little random data point that I picked up. Back to the bagel story. So I leave the crib to go get some bagels for Lauren and myself. And I'm walking. At the time, I was talking on the phone with my mom. And we're just chatting away. I finally get to the bagel shop where it's not too busy. I could tell things are pretty slow because most people don't eat bagels for dinner unless you're me. Get to the counter and I say, okay, can I please have... I always use my manners, even though it's not very East Coast. But usually people just get up and say, I want this. Bacon, egg, and cheese. Ham and cheese. Like people just do that in New York. But I always go, excuse me, miss. May I please have a everything bagel with bacon, egg, and cheese, extra cheese? She goes, we don't have any more eggs. But how much extra cheese do you want? And I was like, I don't know. Just what is the usual amount of cheese? Just give me a little bit more. I didn't know what to say. She was like, okay, fine. That's my bagel order. Bacon, egg, and cheese, everything bagel. Lauren likes a everything bagel with scallion cream cheese. And then as of recent, the like kind of like sleeper bagel pick that we've been trying and eating that has been really good. It's kind of like a bagel dessert, but like it's not supposed to be too sweet, but it's really good. Is a pumpernickel bagel with strawberry cream cheese. And so like that has kind of been like a secret weapon. And in fact, I asked a couple of you guys who eat bagels, if you know about bagels, like that combination is deadly. If you know about that combo, like we're homies, like you get it. Regardless, everyone has their own taste, I understand. So I told her the order, and this is where the story actually becomes a story, right? Well, I guess it became a story when she said that I don't have egg. So basically my bacon, egg, and cheese is just egg and, oh my God. Basically my bacon, egg, and cheese is cheese and bacon with an everything bagel. So that's the beginning. That's the first kind of red flag, right? Where you come in for a bacon, egg, and cheese and you're just left with freaking cheese and bacon. Like that's all they can offer you at 8 o'clock at night. No wonder No one likes bagels this late at night. They don't have any ingredients to make the bagels anymore. But that's neither here nor there. And I'm kind of just like waiting. You know, she's making the bagel with one of her colleagues behind the counter. And I'm kind of like not really watching, but like passively listening to music, slightly paying attention, waiting for her to call my name so I could grab my bagels, pay, and leave. Little did I know that this is where things kind of get interesting. So she's making the bagels, and on the ground, there's like a cardboard container. I don't know what was in the container. I couldn't see behind the counter, but I know there's a cardboard container. As she was kind of making my bagel, she takes a step to the right and completely face plants into the ground. Everyone who was in that establishment at the time was like, oh my God, miss, are you okay? Because like, it was a hard fall. Like she takes a step and literally falls like face first onto the ground, catches herself, like braces herself with her arms, but like, because she's young, you know, it was a young worker at the time, so it wasn't an old person. Falls, hits the ground. Everyone's like, oh my goodness, are you okay? Someone comes from the back, like who was working in the back. Oh my gosh, are you okay? Are you okay? All this drama is ensuing, right? It's kind of crazy. In the back of my mind, I'm like, did she have my bagel in her hand when she fell? And did she just pick it up? Because like she had something in her hand when I was asking her if she's okay, and everyone was asking if she's okay, and I was so, you know, more caring about her actual state of being than looking at the bagel, but she might have had my bagel. I don't know. That's why, maybe why it tastes a little funny later, but we don't have to get into that, okay? She ends up being okay. She probably hurt herself, honestly, because it was a hard fall, but at the end of the day, like, she's pretty young, so like, she didn't break any bones. It was a hard fall, but like, she got up. She was a little bit embarrassed, obviously, too. She just kept working, which I commended her for, and tried to make her feel better, like by saying, like, at least you can laugh about it, because she was laughing about it. I was like, at least you can laugh about it instead of cry about it because you're not in pain, whatever. So how does the story continue? Essentially, she ends up making the bagels, bacon, egg, and cheese with no egg. So bacon and cheese, everything bagel, scallion cream cheese, and the pumpernickel strawberry cream cheese. I go to pay, and she tells the woman at the counter what I ordered, the three bagels. Everything's great. Everything's good. I get back home. The bagels are a bit cold, obviously, because it was a long trip back home, and it was cold outside as well. I get back home, and I give the bag to Lauren, and I tell her that, oh my God, Lauren, like, this woman, she fell. It was crazy. Everyone was like, are you okay? Yada, yada, yada. We get situated. Recently, Lauren and I, we've been watching a series of movies. I don't know if you've ever heard the movies called Meet the Parents, Meet the Fockers, and Little Fockers. I don't know if you know that movie series. It's on Netflix right now, but it's something I used to watch. Not used to watch, but like I watched as a kid, and Lauren and I were rewatching it together. So we got our whole spread ready, got our bagels, and Lauren pulls out one bagel. It's like, okay, nice. She pulls out two. Then she pulls out a third bagel. Then she pulls out a fourth bagel, and Lauren goes, oh my gosh, Drew, why did you order so much food? I'm like, what do you mean? I just got what we've usually been getting. And she's like, no, there's an extra bagel here. And then I realized, I don't know if she did it on purpose or not, but she told the, or not told, she actually gave us an extra pumpernickel bagel, pumpernickel strawberry bagel. And if you saw the story that I had posted about these bagels, usually I get my bagels toasted as well. The bagels weren't toasted. The cheese was looking crazy because it was like just slices of cheese and then bacon, extra pumpernickel bagel with like mounds of strawberry cream cheese. It was just a whole scene revolving this bagel. That's kind of the crux of the story. Hopefully the woman's okay. Hopefully, you know, she didn't hurt herself too bad. Bagels were decent. We had to warm them up in the oven again before eating them. And yeah, it was kind of the most climactic post-a-vid eat a bagel story that I've had to this date, where I posted the video. Usually I grab my bagel not too far from a local bodega, but I had to go pretty far away. And I don't know, I'm never going back to that bodega again, because, or the bagel shop that I went to, because the ones around where I live are just better, right? So there's that. Another kind of topic of conversation that's been on my mind recently, as the new year's rolled around, if you're an adult and you are employed, I'm self-employed, I'm a business, and I have to manage my taxes. Every time I have to do taxes every year, man, I'm like, why do they make this process so seemingly complicated? And how do all of the like wealthiest Americans seem to have the best benefits when it comes to like dealing with taxes? Because they just pay someone to do it who knows how to do it the best for them. I'm almost just really, I want to do that. But like taxes, it's kind of like an annoying part of the new year. And then I realized that I missed the deadline for health insurance. And if anyone knows anything about this, if you're self-employed, like obviously if you have an employer, you get your health insurance like that. But like if you're someone like myself who has to make sure that they apply for health insurance and pay for health insurance in the US, like it's just kind of like, man, what is this system? I just asked myself, they're like, what is the system where I have to apply by a certain date? And if I miss that date for whatever extenuating circumstances, then I have to pay more for health insurance. Just something on my mind that I just had to put out there. I don't know if anyone else has ever gone through that same thing, but regardless, I guess I could put the onus on myself and realize that I need to be more responsible adult, which I probably do need to be a more responsible adult, but we don't have to talk about that. Okay, Martha. I don't know what that was, but regardless, that's what it is. Let's get into, as I always say in every episode or a lot of times, let's get into the meat and potatoes of this episode, which is talking about American Ivy. So a couple of things have happened recently, and I don't have a definition for American Ivy. Maybe I should look that up real quick. When I'm talking about American Ivy, I'm talking about a style, and I'm reading this from Permanent Style. A style encompassing much of the traditional American clothing. Let me read that again. A style encompassing much of traditional American clothing, its origins and reinterpretations, purists and rebels, but outside America that can often... What am I reading? See, this is... I just Googled it and Google did not give me the right answer because I wanted something like succinct. American Ivy is a style of men's dress popular during the late 1950s in the northwestern United States, said to have originated on college campuses, particularly those of Ivy League. It was the predecessor to the preppy style of dress. That's American Ivy. Got it? That's kind of the style that I've been fascinated with, I would say, for the last 2.5 years, since 2021, at the very least, right? I think for me, American Ivy started with this idea of Japanese Americana and kind of understanding what that genre means. And that genre, I feel like, was highlighted heavily in 2020 and 2021 with the reintroduction of a lot of workwear garments becoming popular, or maybe not workwear garments becoming popular, but just my understanding of fashion just becoming more broad and understanding what these different genres mean. Before workwear for me, there was just streetwear. And before streetwear, there was just sneakers. Like, I didn't really have ways to talk about fashion like I do now. And I feel like my knowledge and my understanding of how fashion is looked at and talked about has grown exponentially. And so that's where it starts for me. Workwear and Japanese Americana and understanding what that means. And from Japanese Americana, I stumbled across this book, Emetora, which is a book that is all about how Japan saved America's style in both a metaphorical and a physical sense and a documentarian sense. And so, like, for me, I would say that my style is heavily influenced by this idea of American Ivy. And even if it's not influenced in terms of, like, what I wear on a day-to-day basis, it's influenced in the way of, like, this is the aspect or these are the aspects of fashion that I care the most about, right? And these are the things in fashion that you often see in fashion, but sometimes they're so ubiquitous that they aren't necessarily codified as a particular element of distinguishing fashion, if that makes sense. Meaning that they aren't elements within fashion that are noteworthy. Polo shirts, collared shirts, these things by themselves aren't like style. Like, they aren't fashion. They just are clothes that everyone wears, if that makes sense. Regardless, I'm kind of pulling a lot of these more current and recent opinions from a Articles of Interest podcast that I am going through and sitting through and re-listening to over and over and over again. It was actually recommended by you guys. There was a particular DMer who DM'd me. If you DM me on Instagram, I try to respond back to you. I know sometimes it takes a little while, but I try to. And this individual DM'd me and he said, you know, you should listen to this podcast about American Ivy. And so I've been listening to it. Simultaneously, like I told you guys last week, I picked up Black Ivy, which is all about the African-American Black experience of America's darling style, the Ivy aesthetic, but on Black individuals, which, like I said before with Ivy's definition, a lot of this style deviated or came from the 1950s, the Northwestern United States, and originated on college campuses, particularly those of the Ivy League. Now, Ivy League college campuses in the 1950s have a lot of one type of ethnic group, right? And a lot of times one type of gender, right? Or sex, whatever it may be. And as a result, like, the images for American Ivy look one way, but Black Ivy tries to not challenge, but tries to show you all of the Black figureheads who also decorated themselves in Black Ivy as a form of equality and equity within the American society. It's very, very fascinating how different artists, musicians, writers, beat poets, political leaders, civil rights leaders tried, and not tried, but like dressed themselves and decorated themselves in really noteworthy pieces of clothing. And so that's kind of what sparked my exploration of this current model of Black Ivy, right? The podcast has been awesome. Articles of interest. I've probably listened to the first episode, American Ivy, four times already, because I think it's such a wealth of knowledge on understanding what American Ivy is and understanding trends as well, and pattern recognition and fashion, and understanding those elements that make clothes distinguishable, that make clothes interesting. I think for me right now, when I look at my style, I see a shift going on, and I think it's very organic, which is good. I used to say, like in 2022, 2023, I would say Story MFG is my favorite brand. And I love what Saeed Arubaye and Katie Arubaye are doing at Story MFG. In fact, I don't think that there are a lot of brands who can rival them when it comes to the coolness of their clothes and the sustainability in which they uphold in the terms of their production process. If you don't know about Story MFG, I did a whole episode with them. You have to scroll back a little bit, but I did a whole episode talking with them, learning about their processes, learning about why they create what they create. But it's an incredibly sustainable brand that makes almost like otherworldly, like I want to call it like stage design, set design, Star Warsian like type of pieces that are really cool. It might not be the best definition, but regardless, they're really cool. I've kind of moved a little bit away from wearing Story MFG. And I think the reason is because for me, like while I still really love sustainability, while I think it's still a very, very important aspect within fashion, I've kind of felt that, you know, fashion, as sustainable as it potentially can be, sustainability within fashion is only going to truly happen if there's a systematic shift that takes place. It's not going to happen through one or two or 10 or 100 or 500 brands making things sustainably, because there will still be, you know, a predominant amount of brands who make things like that we've always done. They'll need to ramp up production. They'll need to discard clothing. This change needs to be systematic. And by supporting Story MFG, while I love supporting smaller brands like that have grown really organically, I don't know, like a part of me feels like there's a bigger problem, and Story MFG can't solve that. Me shopping at Story MFG can't solve that. Regardless, also, I mean, to be frank, I love Saeed, I love Story MFG, but I think that the way I feel like my style is changing, it just doesn't reflect the same type of pieces that Story MFG offers. But what's interesting is that Story MFG does offer some pieces still, like their Traer jackets, their Sunday jackets, their Tuesday jackets, that feel like a deviation or a part of American Ivy, which is funny. It's interesting that if I think about it, that's where Story MFG also lies. They have some pieces that are, I wouldn't say trendy, I would just say like uniquely their own, that almost in a way that I feel like that they're so uniquely their own, they just need to be paired with other Story MFG pieces, which is great for them. But as I try to and for me, I'm always trying to mix high with low. I'm trying to mix like the organic with the industrial. I'm trying to mix certain colors together. I feel like a little bit during this fall winter, I've leaned back from having Storium FG and gone more of to a classic, a more timeless, a more ivy look for late 2023 heading into 2024, which is great. One of my favorite outfits right now is wearing this bare knuckles gold and yellow with white accents all on it, varsity jacket with a color combinated tie, and then having an element, whatever that color tie is, having an element that matches that tie color, whether it be on the footwear side or whether it be the gloves or whether it be just something. And I think that looks really, really good right now. Obviously still wearing, you know, Japanese denim, which I feel like is also another kind of road that follows back to or leads back to American Ivy and Japanese Americana that I've been really obsessed with. And obviously you guys, if you know, I've talked a lot about Japanese denim on YouTube. So that's always been something that I've been really interested in. And then I would say just the implementation of more ties, the implementation of more traditional menswear items, whether it be trench coats, whether it be tweed jackets, whether it be herringbone jackets, these kind of things have really caught my attention. Whether it be gingham jackets, that kind of stuff has been just much, much more prevalent in my style. And I think that I don't know why, like I find it interesting right now. And obviously like styles change, interests change. I'm still going to be wearing sneakers. I'm still going to be wearing New Balances and Adidas and things of that nature. But like, I guess things just evolve over time as interests do, because that's just who we are as human beings. We're not meant to stay the same. We're supposed to change, right? So that in combination with just my interest in knowing that I wanted to read Black Ivy, and the more I read about it, the cooler I see the styles of the 60s and the 70s of these black men, the more I'm inspired by them as well. And other references like Ohm Girls and other books and things of that nature have been really inspiring. So that's kind of like why I've been exploring American Ivy, right? With Black Ivy, the book that I'm reading, I'm also trying to get one of the creators of the book, one of the orchestrators of the book on the podcast, Jason Jules, I think his name is. Regardless, sometimes I'm not good with names. It's just the way it is. I mean no disrespect. There's a lot of ways to spell and pronounce things, especially right now I'm trying to learn a little bit of French. So like on Duolingo, like sometimes I want to say parler, like je parle français, but it's je parle, tu parles. Like it's just different. It's just different pronunciation. So sometimes I get things wrong. Sorry. But I'm trying to get him on the podcast, and hopefully I can have an engaging conversation with him, talk to him about some of the things that were going on, what inspired the book. And I know he's had influence on people like Tyler, the Creator, and I think that's really amazing. I would just love to get him on the pod. We'd love to get him on the pod. And I want to kind of, okay, so the way I'll end this episode off is by I'll tell you one kind of final story. This Saturday, I can't remember what I was doing early morning. I think I was just getting some work done. Oh yeah, I was getting a YouTube video done. I just posted a YouTube video talking about debunking 10 style myths, which I thought was a good video. It's doing decent. But after I finished that video, like the editing, I had some time on Saturday afternoon to kind of explore a store. And I wanted to go to a store called The Armory. Never heard about it, but I was just kind of, you know, looking on Google Maps, and I was like, where can I go? And so I decided to, you know, take a trip to The Armory. And when I get there, I immediately see that, okay, this is going to be a tough store. This is going to be like tough as in like really cool store. I really like this store. When I walk in, I look to the right, and there's a book on the kind of, not the counter, but like on this kind of really cool decorated desk. And it's Emotura by W. David Marks, How Japan Saved America Style. That book that I had read that has been the focal point of my fascination with menswear and fashion. And I look around, and as I'm looking around, two girls come in. They're buying, or they were looking for clothes for their husbands, or they're for their men, or something like that. And I see a guy, you know, trying on a jacket, and I just see emotion. But overall, I'm just trying to take everything in to this, you know, take everything in as I'm kind of perusing, looking around the store, the armory. Store is really impressive, I say to myself. And I'm just thinking about how, like, wow, like, it's cool in New York City how you can just look something up on Google. I had no idea about this store beforehand. Find the store, go to the store, and have that trip be all done by foot or by train. And it's just such a nice, easy commute, where in Colorado, it would just take a little bit more. And leaving would be a little bit more annoying and that kind of stuff. I like being able to move around New York City by being able to walk around. That's one of the coolest things, right? So I'm walking around the store, looking around, just enjoying it. Great store, honestly. Great selection of pieces, really soft fabrics, silks, cashmeres, jackets, footwear. I always go to footwear. And I stumble upon these like Jack Solivair items of like loafers, like loafer style, lug style, boot style shoes. And I was curious about them. So I asked one of the workers there, excuse me, you know, what are these shoes? I had honestly never seen them before. And I don't know much about Jack Solivair. So it was something that was foreign to me. He tells me, oh yeah, these are Jack Solivair. You know, these are really great. I have a pair of these. I love these shoes. Do you need a size? Yada, yada, yada. I was like, no, I don't need a size. It was just good banter, good talk, good conversation, good vibes all around. And this guy who saw, I was talking to, he as I was walking away to put them back, or as he was walking away because I handed them to him, he was like, Are you Trejoin? Are you making YouTube videos? And to me, that's just a testament to the reach that the content has, and just the how big the internet is, really. And I was like, yeah, that's me, man. I just came to check out the shop. You know, it's a cool shop. I never heard of it before, the Armory. I just wanted to stop by and say what's up. And from there, we started talking and talking and talking. We talked for like good 45 minutes just talking in the store about shoes, about clothes, about menswear, about amateur, about Ivy. And I was telling him I'm listening to the Articles of Interest podcast, and it just felt like this really cool synchronistic moment where, you know, I was on pursuit. I feel like I'm always in pursuit of some kind of love, some level of knowledge in fashion, right? And right now my fixation is American Ivy. So for me, everything that I do is I'm trying to learn, I'm trying to gather as much information so that I can make better videos for you guys. And hopefully, you know, when I start to create content, like more in-depth content about American Ivy, I'll be able to pull these stories as reference points to the real life examples of how American Ivy is still alive and well today, and how menswear fashion has so much interesting elements within it that people are trying to capture and document and show and share and wear really beautiful outfits. And this experience at the Armory was really cool. So it was just kind of another example of, like, in New York City, like, not only in New York City am I kind of hopefully making a positive representation of my content and my name, but also I am learning and I am exploring and experimenting and socializing and trying to become more. And I think, you know, not to make it all about me, which I would never want to, for you, if you're listening to this, like, no matter who you are, try to experiment, explore, go to places, go to stores, go to places where fashion and art and the things that you're curious about are happening, and then say, hey, excuse me, what is this? Like, I'm never afraid. Whenever I go to a store or something like that, or a shop, I'm never afraid to be like, oh, I'm Trejoin. I got to know it all. I have to. Like, if I ask a question, I'm going to look dumb. No, I'd rather ask a question, because it actually, I feel like when I ask questions, it makes me look smart because I'm learning, right? And so when I learned about these Jack Solivair, the Ray shoes is what they're called, I was like, man, these are tough. I know a lot of people don't know about these. I've never seen these shoes on social media. And so I'm going to try to debut them a little bit here and talk a little bit about them and just show my absolute, like, my absolute infatuation with these shoes, because I think that they are an awesome silhouette for men and women, and people are not highlighting them, and they're really, really cool. So, you know, if you're listening to this and you're a content creator, do not try to beat me to it. This is my shoe, okay? Regardless, it's going to be really interesting to show. And I think I don't know how people will react to this shoe. I don't know how people are going to react to the armory, because I plan to do a little bit of a showcasing of the armory as well. After our conversation, it went so well. I was like, you know what? I want to talk about a business where the people and the staff of the store are so kind like this, that kind of stuff. We'll see what happens. And then there was one other item of footwear that really stood out. The worker there was telling me about, it was a pair of handmade bespoke derbies, I want to say, dress shoes by Yohei Fukuda. Japanese designer that makes everything by hand. Usually the lead times are at least 2 months, a couple weeks, something like that. But just the looking at these shoes, I was like, damn, I wish I could show you them on the podcast, but I can't. I wish I could take you to that moment in time and just show you and be like, hey bro, hey sis, look at this. This is what I saw. Really, really cool store. All in all, I kind of just summarizing and encapsulate everything like this. The Armory was an awesome store. American Ivy is a very, very interesting genre that I'm still exploring. And, you know, with how I try to structure the way I think about content, I will absolutely be making a more in-depth video about everything on YouTube, probably snippets on TikTok Reels. And overall, I think the podcast right now is just like a weekly diary. It's like a weekly journal entry that you're a part of, sprinkled in with some just advice for your creative lives, if you're a creative, or just things that maybe if you're not a creative and I told you to go to creative spaces, maybe it's just spaces where people are like-minded. Maybe you have friends, or you want to make friends, or you have ideas, like go to those places. That's the reminder for this week, right? Also, you know, eat bagels before 2 p.m. and make sure you double sock it if you're in the U.S. right now, because I know it's cold. That's today's episode. And then follow your interests when it comes to fashion. For right now, mine is American Ivy. And hopefully, as I continue to go down that path of exploring American Ivy, you too will also find interest in this style that has defined my country's and a lot of other countries in the world's perception of what it means to be stylish. We'll end on that. As always, I'm spreading peace, love, and positivity in 2024. So that means I'm spreading peace, love, and positivity to you and more. Wherever you are in the world, have a wonderful rest of your day. A bientôt. Peace.